This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's going to be hot fire.
Oh, it's going to be hot fire?
Man.
That's the opposite of what we expect to see from the Jets against the Chiefs this weekend, right? Which is hot garbage.
Yeah, that's going to be iceberg.
I don't know, guys.
So tell me this.
You heard what Chris Jones said. Chris Jones said, you know, don't overlook the Jets. They got guys on that team.
Chris Jones is only repeating what Andy Reid and the coaching staff from the Chiefs have been telling him all week, that this is a good team, and don't look at their record, look at the tape. They're trying to scare the Chiefs into thinking that this is actually going to be competitive.
I heard a man say a long time ago that any team can get got.
Yeah, but we weren't scrubs, though. Remember, we were 11-5 when I said that. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't have said that if we was 0-6. I wouldn't have said that. I would just shut up.
It makes it harder for the Chiefs to get got when you're probably not going to have Jamison Crowder and they've ruled out Rashad Perriman.
Yeah, when there's no getting to be got.
Yeah. It's probably going to be hard for the Chiefs to get got this weekend.
And this is Bell Bowl. So, like, you know, if anybody going to be on a hunt, he going to be on a hunt. He might drop a new diss album before the album comes. He might have a new diss album.
If you're Bienemy and you're sitting there and you're thinking, like, you know, the Jets might want to hire me.
Yeah.
Let me take Le'Veon Bell and just, like, run him roughshod against that team and embarrass
Adam
Gase.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
Like, show just how good he is and then just let Christopher Johnson watch going, like, throw the damn towel.
Right.
Like, he's got 200 yards, like, on the ground, like, you know, combined or something.
Yeah, he might.
Use Bell until his tongue is hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah. Hey, yo, Tommy. Hey, yo, Adam. I ain't heard no Bell. But you did. Ding, ding. Ha, ha. He might tell, listen, we're going to play 707. We ain't going to put the lineman out there, and I'm going to show Le'Veon Bell can ball out. We just going to go 7-on-11. Disrespectful. I know. It's just got that low, though.
He's talking about disrespectful. You were disrespectful this morning on Get Up.
All right, let's get to it.
You know who you were disrespectful to. That might have been the second craziest thing I've seen in the last 24 hours, right behind Dwayne Carter.
I say a lot.
Hang on. So for those who haven't heard it, on Get Up this morning, as Bart is every Friday, he said this.
Right here is a list of all the drafts from the last 5 years in which the great Bill Belichick has had numerous picks. He hasn't been able to really come up with any stars. I believe it. He hasn't drafted a Pro Bowler since 2013. So this is a bigger indictment on Bill Belichick, not the coach, but the general manager and his ability to just surround his team with talent. But when you have the perfect eraser, the equalizer in Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, it didn't matter who was out at receiver. He would make it work. So I think this is a bigger case for Tom Brady to say that he was the reason why that organization was successful for all those years. Because you take him away, and it's like when LeBron left the Cavaliers, it's like you won with these cats, you go from, you know, being maybe the, you know, winning the division,
don't
the
Super you do
Bowl
that,
contender,
Bart,
to not
Bart,
even being able that. To make the playoffs. You're going to get shut out by the Buffalo Bills. I mean, this is a big indictment on Bill Belichick, and that's maybe tough. Bill Belichick, you know, the general manager should be fired and on the hot seat and keep the coach around because the coach is outstanding.
What was the lie? What was the lie?
He did say the coach should stay.
I said the coach can stay, but you should take his ability to go out and draft. Because I have my list here, Chris Canty.
Run through the list.
Zach Mason was okay. Okay. Trey Fowler was okay. Malcolm Brown was okay. But let's go to N'Keal Harry. Let's go to Derek Rivers. Let's go to Antonio Garcia. Never saw him. Cyrus Jones. I mean, listen, I'm going through like 5 years, and I don't see nobody here. Isaiah Wynn, okay, Sony Michel. Do we think that he's better than some of the other players that was picked? No, I don't think so. I don't see anybody that he found. I don't see any diamonds in the rough. I don't see anybody that went from good to great. This dude, and listen, I like Kyle Duggar, but he went and got Kyle Duggar.
So he hadn't drafted a Pro Bowler since 2013, right?
That's what I was going to ask. Is how many Pro Bowlers?
You can go in there and say Tony, who's considered okay. That's Tony.
I'm asking the question. He hadn't drafted a Pro Bowler since 2013, right?
Well, that's what research told me.
Okay. Well, how many Super Bowls has he won since 2013?
Yeah. How many did Tom Brady win?
Well, hold on.
How many did Tom Brady win?
Hold on, Bart. Let me finish what I'm saying.
Okay.
When it comes to trying to have success at the highest,
you got ammunition. You too calm.
What ammunition? There's no ammunition. We're just having a conversation. Anytime you start talking about winning at the highest levels in this league, you got to have talent in order to be able to get that done.
Okay.
Quarterback position is the most important position. There's no making any bones about it. But I fail to believe that it's just because of Tom Brady that the Patriots won those three Super Bowls.
Mostly.
This decade. I'm not saying, listen, the quarterback is the biggest part of it. No matter what team you're talking about, the quarterback is the biggest part of it. But you can't sell me that Bill Belichick isn't a good evaluator of talent in this league.
He's a great.
He might be the best at being able to identify what his guys do great and what they don't do so great,
okay.
But also what the opposing team's guys do great
right.
And what they don't do so great.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got enough of a reservoir of knowledge, because he's been in the game since 75, to be able to have schemes
okay.
To put that in place to exploit the deficiencies of the opposing team and to highlight the strengths of his own guys.
So to me, that's
a hell of a job.
He can do it to your teams.
Let me ask a question about that.
He's been to 9 of them and he's won 6.
Yeah. No. Let me ask a question about his success
in the salary cap era. So to try to distinguish.
Let me finish talking.
To try to separate Bill Belichick, the coach, from the GM, I think it's a little bit unfair for the intents and purposes of this conversation, because they both work together in order to get to the end result, which is the Patriots competing at the highest level for the last 2 decades.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, the fact that he can get away with it with Tom Brady allows him to be able to make those mistakes and still be a great coach.
Who was Tom Brady before Bill Belichick drafted him?
He was a coach of Michigan.
Backup quarterback.
He was a backup quarterback at Michigan.
Sixth round pick.
Let me ask this question, based on that, though.
Based on what you said, though, Chris, let me ask you that, because it is, there are some GMs that are like this, and there are some evaluators that are like this. You just said he's good at finding what a player does great, right?
Yes.
But is his deficiency, his issue that he's not good at evaluating great players?
Exactly.
Like, he's the guy that'll find players
from other
and be
teams.
Able to use them in his system, but he can't identify a great player that is just great on his own.
No,
a lot of his
disagree with that,
because
I mean,
he drafted
Logan Mankins in the first round, and Logan Mankins is a hell of a player.
That's
he's
like,
an all pro player.
Even okay, a Brown,
so it's not like he can't. It's not like he can't find great.
He just
players.
Said he hasn't.
Chris,
he hasn't.
Chris, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once
right.
in a while. I guess what I'm trying to say, Chris, is what he is good at is taking other players from other places. Kyle Van Noy going to get Gilmore, going to get Burkhead. He's able to go get other players once he's seen them play and perform
at his level.
Right. He's not good at picking them fresh from college. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He can develop them once they're already a finished product. But he hasn't went out. And when you look at this list, he's had numerous picks, because they always acquire picks on top of picks. If you had to evaluate who was the best general manager over these last couple seasons, you wouldn't say Bill Belichick, because he hasn't been able to find and locate and identify great talent. What he's always been able to do is get veteran players to come play with him because of Tom Brady. Let's see how many veteran players, now that he doesn't have Tom Brady, are willing to take less money for opportunity to win the Super Bowl when it is no threat for them to win the Super Bowl anymore, because we see what it looks like without Tom Brady there to make everybody mm-hmm. better, to make it work.
Guys, I feel like we're missing the forest through the trees. The general manager's job is to get the coaches players that he can win with.
Yeah.
And Bill Belichick has gotten, the GM has
okay.
gotten Bill Belichick to coach players
okay.
that he can win with.
How'd he do
otherwise,
this year?
Otherwise,
do this
you
year?
Can't explain the unprecedented success they've had the last 2 decades.
Yes, I can't explain it. It's because they had Tom Brady for the last 2 decades. So what I want to see is, I want to see what his resume looks like
okay.
post-Tom Brady. That's what we've
okay,
all been
so,
waiting
so
for.
We're gonna, so you're going to sit here and say Tom Brady is the reason why they won the first three Super Bowls?
Yeah, what I'm gonna say? Wait, yes,
no,
I want to say
defense was.
It was still Tom Brady. 2 million. Listen, I want to see what he looks like this year, next year, the year after that. Listen, we all agree that Cam Newton is an okay quarterback. He's better. Some would even say he was good. But he ain't been able to get the same magic with the same group of players because he's not Tom Brady. And you can say whatever you want, just like you can. You think
I'm,
you
I'm
just,
not saying I'm not saying I'm not saying anything that anybody else hadn't already agreed to. I think the consensus around the football world is Bill Belichick might be the greatest coach in the modern era.
We're going to see. Because
let's
listen,
leave it there. Let's leave it there.
Hold up, man. No, his resume is good right now. That resume is going to change. Listen, he's going to go down as the greatest head coach of all time. But then it's going to
okay,
be...
Okay, so what are we parsing through then?
I'm saying it's going to be a second chapter post-Tom Brady. Post-greatest player of all time. Greatest coach met greatest player of all time. Now, did coach make player better? Did player make coach better? I don't know. I think it's a part of both. But now we get to see what his career looks like in Tampa... Right? what Tom Brady's career looks like in Tampa, and we get to see what Bill Belichick's career looks like without Tom Brady. Let's see what he.
Listen, after I saw Bill Belichick defense dismantle the greatest show on turf, I don't need to question his greatness as a coach, and I don't question his greatness as a talent evaluator. If y'all want to do that, knock yourself out. I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
So you can't say that the general manager has performed horribly.
I'm not going to say Bill Belichick has performed horribly at anything in the salary cap era in the last 20 years.
Dude, took to kill Harry. Jawan Williams. Who the hell is Jawan Williams? Damon Harris. Well, let's not talk about Easley when he took him first overall. Bum salad.
Like, who has had success?
He drafted Braxton
Who has
Berrios.
Had success as a general manager or a head coach like Bill Belichick? Who? Exactly.
All right, let's leave Paul it there. It feels like we're going.
What are we talking about? I don't even understand. Right, he's got six Super Bowl wins in the last 20 years.
How many without
what
Tom
are
Brady?
We
how many without Tom?
About?
How many without Tom Brady? Who gets one first, right. Tom Brady?
I feel like
or
we're
Bill
on the carousel
Belichick.
Now. We're on a carousel now. We're kind of spinning on this one.
There's no spinning about it. It's an absolutely ridiculous conversation to have.
It's not. It's
absolutely ridiculous.
Tom Brady. Listen, Bill Belichick was never win a championship.
Going to criticize the guy that's gotten to nine Super Bowls and won six of them.
How many?
In 20 years.
How many without Tom Brady? How many titles does he win without Tom Brady?
Bart, you can never prove a hypothetical.
We don't know.
Yes,
we can.
How can we
this
prove
year,
it?
We know he ain't winning. That's one. Let's see next year. That'll be two. The year after that, that'll be three. And I so forth and so on.
Okay.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
And that's where we're leaving it. It'll become Greg Popovich can't win without Tim Duncan. Is that what it's going to become? We'll see.
Yes.
All right. But let's move on because I want to talk to you guys. Right. But nobody's going to say Popovich isn't one of the great coaches of all time, even if he doesn't win ever again. Let me just ask this because you both played for the Ravens. You both played in this division. You both have played in this rivalry. And it's to me the best game of the weekend. It's obvious.
That's the only reason I like Chris because he's a Raven.
Steelers-Ravens, a 6-0 versus a 5-1. I can't believe it's at 1 o'clock. Of course, here in New York, we won't get to see it. But still, this is a great game. Can you guys, from your experience, just tell people listening just what a game like this, when you have an 11-1 combined record with these two teams, it has to ratchet it up even more to know how important this game is, this rivalry is in the division. They play again on Thanksgiving night as well. Just what does it mean to play in this game?
I mean, listen, my introduction to this game was, Chris got thrown straight into it because he was already a great player. I was a scrub. I'm sitting on the sideline, and my first experience is like, all right, this is Steeler Week. I don't know what the hell that means. I never played any meaningful college games. I don't know what a big rivalry is. All I know is high school. So I'm sitting up here, and I'm watching, and I'm looking, and I see a little melee on the sideline. I'm like, what the hell going on over there? Plexico Burress and James Trapp have got into an altercation. Okay, I've seen guys fighting. It usually don't go nowhere. A lot of little slapping and stuff like that. Everybody breaking up, holding back. Let me at him. All right, that's what I'm used to. I saw James Trapp hip toss Plexico Burress and then jump in the air. He might as well have had on a yellow tracksuit and landed on his man's chest with cleats on and twisted like he was Bruce Lee.
Wow.
In turn, Plexico takes it, absorbs it, knocks his feet off, gets up, and hits him with a 2-3-4-5 piece. I say, what the hell is this? Like, man, is this what I'm in for? So Steeler Week was just always different. It was one of those things where everybody was locked in like it was a damn playoff game. And they always told us, get your body fresh. Because guess what? After this game, you're not going to be healthy and you're going to be sore for 3 weeks. So we always hoped that we had a scrub afterwards. Because we never knew if you were going to be healthy enough to play the next week. It was crazy.
Put quite simply, Al, it's the best rivalry in pro football. And it ain't even close. It ain't even close whoever is number two. I just, to have an opportunity to be a part of it for 3 years and actually be a part of it in the playoffs in 2014, we went into Heinz Field and ended up coming out of there with a win. It's special, man. I mean, it's all about lining up and whooping the guy in front of you. It really isn't about the X's and O's because the two teams know each other so well from a scheme standpoint. And from a DNA standpoint, they evaluate players, and they go after kind of the same type of guys, guys that have dominant traits, guys that have alpha personalities. And so when you get into that game, that's what it comes about. You being able to impose your will on that guy and knowing that that guy is trying to make it a 60-minute fist fight as well. And so when I was told by Terrell Suggs, when I was going out there for my first one, he said, this ain't about trying to be cute. This ain't for the meek and mild. This is about just trying to go in there and hit the guy in the mouth as many times as you can, as long as you can. That's what it is. And so it's a special rivalry. The energy is always off the charts no matter what the records of the teams are. It's just, again, Al, it's the best rivalry in pro football.
And you, to his point, and I talked about that, right, this morning. It's like the movie Us from Peele. Like, it was like you were being chased by yourself because for every great player that the Steelers had, and we always talk about them defensively because that's kind of just how we roll because it's defined by the defensive players. It's like an equal or greater, like, on the other side. So whether you talk about Polamalu, Ed Reed, you talk about Jerome Bennis, you talk about Jamal Lewis, you talk about Max Starks or Alan Faneca, you talk about Jonathan Ogden, you talk about Ray Lewis, you talk about Ferrier, you talk about James Harris and Debo, you talk about Terrell Suggs, you talk about Joey Porter, you talk about Adelius Thomas, and so forth and so on. And they just keep finding the same players. So now you're going to have Devin Bush and you're going to have Patrick Queen compared to each other for the next 10 years to be part of that rivalry about who has the better player, the more dominant player in that position. You want to talk about Ike Taylor, you want to talk about Chris McAllister. It's like one of those things, man. It's like you looking at your equal. So you know your equal, you're not going to bully your equal. You just have to break your equal.
Yeah, but Ike Taylor and Chris McAllister's equal.
Yeah, yeah. They was his equal. They would think that. You know what I mean? They would think that Ike Taylor was that. They believed in Ike. He was their shutdown corner. You know what I'm saying? And it was like one of those things where it was like, listen, man, we could go out and we can trick him, right? We can go out and reverse or trick play. But why do that when you can just punch him in the face? You ever see that slapping competition?
Yeah.
Where people just sit there and they bite down on their mouthpiece and they smack and they. We're going to keep smacking each other until one of us quit.
That's what it is. Until one of us get knocked out.
Yeah,
that's the thing about it. It's not about who's going to quit because neither side is going to quit.
Yeah.
It's about who's going to knock the other person
out
first.
Exactly. Who's going to go night-night.
Literally what you have to do. And that's what makes it fascinating. That's what makes it such a great game. And obviously the unique perspective you both have because you both played in it and understand it. That's why I know that spirited conversation about Belichick's one thing, but I really wanted to hear those stories that you both told about this because it is going to be a great game. And then Thanksgiving again. As well. Unfortunately, we got to run.
No, hold on. I can't let you off the hook because I heard a segment that you did with Damian Woody this week and you threw me under the back of that bus.
What?
And you misquoted me when I was talking about Andrew Thomas from last Thursday night's game with the Giants. I heard that.
Ain't no bum salad.
I heard that.
I said, he was entering Eric Flowers territory.
I said he's entering Eric Flowers territory in terms of my level of concern about him being able to do the job. You got to get a whole thing now. You know this as a journalist and a former beat writer. You know that.
What is inaccurate?
Come on, Al. I got smoke for you today, too. Come on now.
Oh, you should have told me. We could have gotten
come
this
on,
right
come
out
on
of the
now.
Gate. I said I did not misquote you at all.
No more commercials.
Literally read it off the text. Literally read it off the text to him. And he agreed with you.
Listen, Eric Flowers is an outstanding football player right now.
Now
he goes to Aaron Donald.
He's not an outstanding football player for the team that took him in the top 10. That's the problem.
That might be Thomas.
Are
he
you
might
kidding
have to
me?
Get out
listen,
of here.
I don't think it's even a conversation right now about whether you should have Parrott or Thomas out there. I think Matt Parrott gives you the best chance to win today. I do.
Can they just move him to right tackle?
I don't know. They got to find something to do with him just to try to restore some confidence.
Teach?
The kid
Isn't
is
that
not
what Joe
confident.
Judge talked about? His coaching staff is full of teachers. He wants to teach. We'll teach.
Because if he loses confidence in this market, he'll never get it
back.
Well,
I'm just thinking about how hard it might be if you have to play on Monday night without Will Hernandez going up against that Buccaneers front.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, that left side's going to definitely be struggling, no question about it. I'm getting yelled at because we're late. We got to go, but this has always been a lot of fun. Chris, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Hashtag thanks for having me on, guys.
General Manager. Hashtag.
All right.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.